from the path you were on. Found yourself lonely and lost a long way from home. The guilt deep inside said that you've gone. The blood of Jesus does what nothing else can do. There's a place called forgiveness, and there's room there for you. 'Cause the blood says we can put the past all behind. Your heart inside. Satan tells you it's hopeless and that you can't go back home again. But the Father, He's waiting with arms open wide. The blood says you can. When you're of the mistakes that you've made, just remember price has been paid, and the blood says you can put the past all behind. Your sin will be covered.
Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Look at the one next to you and say, what is your addiction? You're addicted to something this morning. What is your addiction? Amen. Mark's Gospel in the 5th chapter. Verse number 12. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're a visitor, make yourself right at home. Let's have a good time in the Lord. Amen. All these papers. Sent off the papers on the Obama, stop the Obama abortion agenda. One of the first acts that he did was reverse the ban using federal tax dollars for abortion in other countries. Shame, isn't it? Murder. Amen. Mark's gospel in the 5th chapter, verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits, what happened? They went out. And what happened? And what? Entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. Father, help us this morning to get all out of this message what you have laid on our hearts, God. Father, that we would receive this word today, God. It would find good ground in every one of our hearts. Father, be with the children in the other building, Lord, and speak to them on their level, God. Father, they can understand the love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. What is your addiction? You're addicted to something today. What is it? It says in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundant. Let me tell you, there's addictions, good things that we can be addicted to, but there's bad things in this world. And Satan brings bad addictions into this world because he's a thief and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Amen. But Jesus wants to bring good addictions to give you life and life more abundant. Amen. Jesus said in John in the 8th chapter in verse 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter, it tells here in the verse 19, I don't know if she has that scripture or not, but it says that he has put before us this day death and life, or life and death, rather. He's put before us life and death, right? Blessing or cursing. And then he says, choose life. He gives us a hint. Amen. He helps us out in our decision. I preach messages on decisions, and we make decisions all the time. And whatever decision we make, we live with the results of that decision. So we need to choose wisely. Amen. So he's put before us here this day life and death. He started off and he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day. Your life is being recorded today. Your actions are recorded in heaven. Amen. That's why he said in Revelation, the 20th chapter, the books shall be open, the books of your life. Amen. And mine, they're being recorded. They was born, and this service is being recorded. The response to this message, this information that you're receiving today, how you respond to it is being recorded in heaven, so that we can't not say before God, I didn't know. You'll know before you leave here today. It's being recorded. He said, I call heaven and earth. Well, how heaven and earth? Because the angels are here on earth, and you're being recorded in my memory of what you're doing. Amen. With what is delivered today. And it's being recorded in heaven by the angels here on earth, carrying them back and forth. We preached about angels last Sunday night. Get you a CD if you wasn't here. Amen. You missed it. Glory to God. But listen to this story here. This is the story of the young boy that was full of devils. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe devils can live in people. Right? Here's the story. Jesus is telling this story. And they can live inside people, and they want to, and they can control you. Amen. Some people will allow anything into their lives and into their bodies. You see that? I mean, just anything. They would allow things in their life that even a hog would not want in their lives. We see that the hogs, when the demons, the devils ran into them, that they ran violently down the hill. You know, when Jesus first came, Jesus asked the legions or the devils what was their name. They said, our name is Legion, which means 6,000. How many were there? I don't know. It was at least 120 in that boy. 120 devils in that person. I don't believe it. I don't preach to make you believe. I preach to give you information. It's up to you to believe. Amen? I don't have to make you believe. Listen, it's real. I've seen them. I've cast devils out of people. Amen? It's real. I've seen people that's full of devils, and I've seen them drive them to things that they thought they would never do, even suicide. I've preached funerals. I know what I'm talking about. I've been around the corner a little bit. I've been around a little longer than some of you young people. I ain't been around as long as Sister Von Seal, but I've been around. Glory to God. Ain't God good to us? Maybe the devils drove the hogs where they was trying to drive that boy to suicide. They ran violently down the hill and drowned in the sea, the Bible says. I was behind a car the other day going down the road, and it was a funny thing. I mean, it's riding right behind it, and like every 3 or 4 seconds, this smoke was coming out. And he go a little further, and I said, man, I said, it can't be smoking that fast. And he turned off this road. It kind of angled off. And so I looked over there. And he was all crunched up against the steering wheel with the window cracked about like this. Up leaning against the window. And he was... I mean, trying to drive and all crunched up. He didn't want that smoke in his car, but yet he was allowing it to go in him. I mean, the stuff he didn't want in his car, he was people, some of the filthiest mess they allow in their lives and in their bodies that even a hog don't want. It's amazing, isn't it? It says here about this young man in the 5th chapter in verse number 3. It says, it talked about him. It said, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was wild and rebellious. Remember those days, fellas? Nobody could tell us, could they? Oh, hard heads. Amen? I was one of them. Thank God, like Hank Williams sang that old song. I saw the light. I saw the light no more in darkness. Aren't you glad of that? He left a light on for me. Was it the one to sing a song? Verse 4, it says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Verse 5, and always night and day. He was in torment night. It was no rest. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, the graveyards, crying and cutting himself with stones. A lot of good preaching in this. I don't have time to go into a lot of this here. I'll just give you a picture of what sin will carry you to. Amen? That's what sin will carry you to. Because these devils that was in him was using his body and possessing him. Number one, he was using his body to create evil. And that's what devils do. They come and they use the human body to create evil. See, they're not creative beings. We are. We're made in the image of the Creator. So we have creative ability. Until man came, there was not one abortion clinic. There was not one bottle of liquor made. And there was not any... I mean, come on. There was none of this pornography. There was... You know, all this stuff didn't come until man came along. And then the devils begin to use the bodies. Well, where'd they come from? That's a different message. See me after service, I'll get you a CD. Kind of bring you up to speed. That's what it's important about coming to church. That's why we give you tools to learn. That's why we encourage you. Go on the internet. Go back to a lot of the messages, all these messages on the internet. On DTMSomerville.org. Amen. You can listen to them. Download them. Free. Number one, the devil uses our bodies to create evil. Number two, they use our bodies to feel the sensation that our bodies feel. Our bodies have feeling in them. Amen. We feel sensations. And when they come into our bodies and begin to lead us to do wrong things, they feel the effects of it. What people feel. And they're always looking for that next high to satisfy them. Looking for satisfaction and never finding it. And number three, they come into human lives to humiliate the creation of God, which we all are, because Satan hates God for booting him out of the kingdom of God when he rebelled. Those that takes notes in Isaiah the 14th chapter, verse 12 through 16, he talks about it. He said, I will ascend to the Most High. I will ascend to the heights of God, and I will be as God, and I will be God. And what did God do? He dumped him out. What God do? Get out of here. Come on. That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Doom. I was there when he booted him out. Listen. He rebelled against the authority of God. That's why rebellion, Adam and Eve learned rebellion from him, from Satan, because Satan is full of rebellion. Children, young people, when you rebel against your parents, that comes from the pits of hell. That's coming from Satan. Go ahead and follow him. You'll enjoy your life in prison. Go ahead, hard head. Go ahead. Say, Brother Dave, you preach most time like you half mad. I am at the devil. Because he's stealing and killing and destroying young lives. Hardworking parents that try to take care of them and show them the right way. They won't believe them that love them, but they'll go out there in the street to somebody that's trying to get them. Come on. I didn't see too many. I told you these gray hairs, I've been around a while. They rebel and rebellion when rebellion comes in us church people. Oh God, church people got rebellion. Yeah. You still in the flesh, aren't you? Your own flesh tried to rebel against you this morning. Don't get out of that bed. Lay back, man. Didn't y'all have to make yourself get up? Think about it. Rebellion is of Satan. It is nowhere. Rebellion is not of God, period. It's of Satan. 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter talks about rebellion. And Samuel said, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. I know it's none of us stubborn in here. As it's the sin of idolatry. Same thing as getting you an idol up there, bowing down and worshiping when you're stubborn. Glory. See, we don't know how this young man in the 5th chapter of Mark gets into this fix. And I don't know how you got into the fixes you got into in life. And I don't really care how you got into it. When people come in here, I don't need them to sit down and tell me how they got in problems. I want to tell them how to get out of it. Amen? It's like so often people go along and they see somebody maybe run off into a ditch in their car and the water's rising in the ditch. And they stand up here on the road and say, how in the world did you get down in there in that ditch like that? They say, well, you better get me out quick or the water's rising. Well, I just can't figure out how you got down in there in that ditch off of the... How did you do that? Who cares how they got down there? Get them out. Who cares how people get into the fixes? Get them out. Get them out. Who cares what people's done in the past? I'm not judge. God's judge. Get them out. Get them out.
I like what he said in Isaiah the 55th chapter. He said, "Ho, all ye come." Come on, what did he say? He didn't say it here. It's inclusive. He said, "All you drug addicted, come. All you prostitutes, come. All you homosexuals, come. I'm telling you, the blood can deliver you from all those things. The blood of Jesus." He said, "Yay, if you don't have any money, come. It's free, come." We don't know how this young man got into this fix, but like most everyone that is possessed, it began with flirting and dabbling. Oh yeah, that's what Brill Cream used to say, didn't it? Boy, to wet your head down, wasn't it? You see, sin will carry you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you're able to pay. That's sin. It starts with flirting. What does flirting mean? Flirting means playing at making love. It means to make love just for the fun of it. And then you get bit. Huh? Young people, it starts with a little smile, a little kiss. And each time you go a little further, a little further. That's what Samson did. Each time he'd go a little further, a little further, until Delilah vexed his soul and he told her all his heart and it cost him all his strength. Amen. I'm telling you, you flirt with it and you keep flirting and you keep dabbing with it. It'll get you. Dabble means to play. It's like a little kid in a mud hole. They dabble with it. Baba, go kill me, all this mud all over me. That's what sin will do. You dabble with it and you're going to fall into it. And then it's going to be all over you. And you're going to wear the stink and the smell and the dirt of it. Amen? Dabbling. After you flirt with it and begin to dabble with it, after a little while you become obsessed with it. You get obsessed, which means to haunt or fill the mind of. That's all you begin to think about. Because you've been flirting with it and dabbling with it, and that's all you can't. Come on, there's some junk in my mind I wish I could get out. But like my daddy said, I got a photogenic memory. No, he said photostatic memory. That's what it is. Photostatic memory. Amen. You can pull up pictures that you saw and things you saw when you was in sin. You pull it up just like this in front of you. It'll begin to fill the mind. It'll keep the attention off. You become to get obsessed with it. Oh, it's all you can think about. You try to think about God, but it's over here. And you say, "Oh, I need to pray and study, but oh, I need, oh." Because you started flirting with it and dabbing with it, and now you're obsessed with it. Obsessed with it. Until a time you begin addicted to it. Addicted means given up to a habit that can be good or bad. Amen? You're addicted to coming to church. That's a good habit. But if you're addicted to sin or some type of bad habit, that's what we're talking about this morning, addressing it. It's given up to a habit. To when people begin to see you, they call you an addict. As a person who is addicted. They're an addict. They're a TV addict. They're a drug addict. An addict. Then the next thing is called possessed. After you flirt a while and dabble, you get obsessed with it and you get addicted to it. And then you open the door and he moves in and you get possessed. Possessed means to own or to have or to occupy or to control. I see a lot of people who are controlled by Satan. controlled. It all starts, listen to this close. It all starts before the flirting, before it all starts with oppression. You ever heard people say, "Well, I just feel oppressed today"? You better do something. Friend, there's a temptation waiting on you. You better do something. It starts with oppression. It's an outside influence trying to influence you. And it's coming around to try to tempt you. And oppression is a heavy, weary feeling. You ever had one? It's burdening. If you don't do the right thing, it'll get to get rid of that. It will turn into flirting. It'll flirt with you and you'll flirt back, whatever it is. Amen? James in the 5th chapter, verse 13, he said, if any's afflicted, if any's oppressed, let him pray. You got to pray. Amen? That's why Jude said, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We understand that when so often when people say, I just feel so heavy and weary, and they don't pray. Man, you need to fortify yourself. Amen. That's what he said. The enemy said, Nehemiah in the 4th chapter, verse 2, those taking notes, it says, one of the four questions he asked of Nehemiah and those, he said, will they fortify themselves? When the enemy comes around and you begin to feel oppressed, how many has ever been into a place and you know it's just a bad feeling in there? That's your spirit. That's the spirit of God in you telling you, hey, that's not where you should be. And whenever you get up in the morning or if you go somewhere or any time of the day, you start feeling that oppression spirit, you better watch out. You better pray. You better get somewhere and fortify yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be tempted down the road and you'll start flirting with it. Luke in the 11th chapter in verse number 21, it says, and when a strong man armed means equipped fully with the armor of God. In other words, the furnishings of God. Everybody say furnishings of God. Or just say furniture of God. When a strong man armed, when is the time to build militarily? America used to have it right. In a time of peace, you build your military. Our so brilliant politicians today thinks that in peacetime, you're supposed to dissolve your military. That's the time you build your military. Well, Christians need to get it. So often we wait till we're in the middle of oppression or in the middle of some situation or in the middle of a temptation. And then we'll run and say, oh, I need to pray. That's not the right time to pray. Come on. The time to pray is in the time of peace. When everything's good, fortify yourself, build up yourself, build militarily that you'll be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. Come on, church. You don't wait till you're in the middle of the war and then try to, oh, God, I need you now. Oh, where you at? God, let me find you. I'm in need. It's crazy, isn't it? When a strong man armed, keeping his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, how can a stronger than he come? Because he didn't build up militarily. And overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and delivered his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. Jesus talking here. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Verse 24, he says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Why? Because he don't have that body. He can't feel sensations. He can't find that feeling anymore. He can't get satisfied. The Bible said he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And he said, I will return unto my house, my house, my house. That's his, baby. I will return to my house. And it says, when he cometh and he findeth what? Swept and garnished. He, like a broom swept out. In other words, when we get saved, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost cleans us out, cleans all the sin out, sweeps out all the traces of sin. But my friend, it's up to me and you to begin to move in some furniture. You got to occupy that thing. You got to move in some furnishings of God. Amen. That's what you're doing this morning. You're moving in furnishings of God. Every time you come to church, every time you come to Sunday school, every time you read, every time you study, every time you pray, you're putting furniture in. You're hanging on the shingle. No vacancy. Most Christians got a big old sign. Vacancy. Move in right now. He said he'll peep through the window. He'll look into your life and he said, ooh, that thing swept and gone. They ain't moved no furniture. It's an empty house. He said he'll go out and get what? 7 more wicked than he. He gonna throw him a party. Amen. That's why, friends, listen, it don't pay to play with God. Get serious with him or get back out there and sin and just go to hell. Amen. Don't play with God. He says the latter end of that man will be worse than the beginning. Pretty sad, isn't it? Don't play with God. Get serious with God. Get serious with God. Boy, especially in this day we're living. Amen. Garnish means to be put in order. Put some things of God in our lives. He said in Galatians 5:1, he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled. Entangled means ensnared. Again, with the yoke of bondage. Bondage means slavery. To be a slave. How, is anybody here want to be a slave? I don't believe in slavery. That's a sin. God don't believe in slavery. Amen? No one. Well, look at all the people as slaves to Satan. In bondage. Slavery. They got a taskmaster controlling them. I remember when I was a young boy, I was about 16 years old, and I was at my cousin's house, and my grandma had a little room off the end of the porch there. It's a big old house, and one morning I was leaving out, and she heard me open the door or something or other, but anyhow, she came out the door of her little room there, and I saw her, and man, her eyes was all swole up, and boy, she looked bad. She looked bad. I said, Mom, what's wrong with you? She said, Lord, David, run over here and beat him eyes. That's the grocery store. Get me some snuff. I ran out in the middle of the night. She was addicted to it. Addicted. Possessed by it. Got to have it. Even in the middle of the night, she got to have it. Got to have it. I'm going to die without it. I'm in pain without it. Addicted to it. People start flirting and dabbling with anything. There's a danger of getting obsessed with it. Then addicted to it, then possessed by it. Amen. Let's just name a few sins straight out. A lot of preachers don't like to do this. Don't name sin now. Why not? If we don't do any of them, why not? Amen. Let's name some. Adultery. How's it start? Next thing you know, you're in the bed. Before you know it. Don't tell me it's happening everywhere. Tobacco. Starts out with stealing a little butt out of an ashtray somewhere, breaking off the filter and smoking it. Even find it on the ground somewhere and breaking off the filter and smoking it. Can I get a witness? I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Then you end up with 2 packs a day and wanting more. Never enough, is it? Adultery starts with one, keeps going. Never enough. Alcohol starts out with stealing a little sip of beer out of Uncle Ted's beer can. Alcohol and tobacco is both a drug. You end up becoming an alcoholic. Other drugs, it starts little. Starts with smoking, drinking, marijuana. I don't know them all, but I've heard them. Cocaine, LSD. I've seen a lot of people deliver from them. Crack, crank, Meth. Crazy junk. I mean, crazy. People get so addicted. I don't want to go into all of it. Listen. What I'm talking about these now, I'm not picking on you. There's a lot of things that we've, this list here, we've all been guilty of some of them. What did he say in Corinthians when he names a list of sin? And he says, and such were some of you. Man, I was. But thank God I ain't no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. So don't get offended when I preach to you and get mad. Listen to me. Hear the story out. Know what I'm concerned about your life. Tattooing. Piercing. Money. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:10, he says, the love of money. For the love of money. Many people have coveted after. Huh? And have erred from the faith. They've got addicted to it. I gotta work at overtime. I can't take a position in church. I gotta work. I've preached a lot of funerals. I mean, I don't know how many, Sister Connie, how many? It's a bunch of them. I've never one time seen an armored car behind a hearse. Not one time. I've seen some of the children fighting over what was left, but I ain't never seen them take it with them. I've never seen somebody on their dying beds, and I wished I could have got about 10 more hours overtime in. You know what they say? I wish I had done more for God. You see, all these things, whether it's adultery, tobacco, alcohol, drugs, tattooing, piercing, money, all these things is there to humiliate and distract God's creation, which is us. Also to control and possess people to feel an artificial high, trying to find the high that the demons or the devils once had with God before the rebellion. Amen. That's why, let me tell you, that's why one relationship is not enough. That's why one cigarette's not enough. That's why one beer's not enough, or one drug, or one tattoo is not enough, and one piercing is not enough. I gotta have more and more. It's never enough. Sin is never enough. Stealing, it's never enough to steal one thing. Lying, it's always gotta be propped up with another. It's never enough. Are you with me? Ezekiel in the 28th chapter, verse 13. He says, thou hast been in the Eden. You ought to read the scriptures before and after this. Talking about Satan here, when it was Lucifer. Thou hast been in the garden, in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy, what's that word, pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. In other words, he was over the praise and worship of heaven. The praise, that's why we church people ought to be praising and worshiping. Amen? He was over the praise and worship of heaven, but he got booted out. So heaven needs this praise and worship. Amen? Thank God. But listen, when he would move, he would just make music. That's why he's so instrumental in rock music and all kind of secular music, rap and all this, because he knows music. It's a universal language. Amen. And he uses people. That's why a lot of rock people, they said that all of a sudden I had a pen in my hand. It was like something was moving my hand as I wrote this song. Suicide is the way to go. It's the ultimate high. And parents run out and can't buy enough of it. Huh? Brooke Shields. Hannah Montana. Well, they're nice little girls, but little girls grow up.
Who are you following?
You see, he misses all this precious stone and all this covering and all this. So he enters people's bodies, and that's why one tattoo is not enough.
Gotta have another one.
And then another one. And you get addicted to it and possessed by it. That's why one piercing is not enough. You need another one. And then another one. It started out, women used to just pierce here. And then men. Now little babies, little girls, little boys. Go back to Old Testament. Go back to Old. Am I preaching the truth? I'm not listening. I'm not condemning you. The word is. He said in the Old Testament, he said, anyone who wants to, when he's freed, and he wants to become a slave to that man for life, he said, let him take an awl and drill a hole in his ear and put a ring in it as a sign that he is a slave for his master for life. You see, I'm not one that tips through the tithers. I don't want to offend them because they'll take the money. I'm not a hireling. Thank God. I thank you that you put up with me though. Y'all people got to have a lot of love. You see, what happens is all this stuff desensitizes us. Come on. Oh, it was a shocker. My dad used to say, when Gone with the Wind came on the big screen, and that guy, what was it? Rhett Butler. What was his name, really? Cargill, yeah. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a. Y'all know what it is. He said, man, it floored them. He's a sinner. They just can't believe this. Can't believe he said that on the big screen. Oh, what is this world coming to? Now, unless you got a curse-free TV like I got one of the boxes, boy, it bleeps that stuff out. Thank God. Which I... most of us, I'm watching old Western, so I don't never see it bleaked out. But Andy Griffith, something like that, you know. Now, Christians are set there, and every other word is some kind of bad word. And they sit there, and they've been desensitized to it. You sit down in their home, and it says it, and boy, it perks your ear, because you don't ever hear that. And they say, hey, you hear what they said? They say, what? Desensitized. So that when the mark of the beast comes along and they say, look here, we need to put this mark on you. Ain't no problem. I got where you want to find a place on here. You can put it in amongst all these others. Woody Woodpecker over there. Find your place here among all these other marks because I'm desensitized. It is. Wait a minute. We need to take and prick your skin and pierce your skin. Oh, no problem. Just find your place anyway. You see, find your place. Oh, Lord, I could go on. I don't have time. I gotta move on here. I'm almost finished. Listen. John 8 and 44, he says, listen. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Let me ask you, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Come on. Who are you following? Who are you taking after? I like it when somebody was talking to Brother Richie, got on Sister Connie's good side the other night, said, Brother David is sporting that 80s hairdo. I just thank God I got hair to do with. No offense. No offense here. You look good there too. You look good. No offense. No offense. See, they're just too sexy for their hair. That's why it isn't there. Yeah. My dad said, whenever, you know, hair, it'll grow. And if it don't hit nothing, it'll just keep growing. But if it hits something, it'll fall out. So I guess it ain't hit nothing here yet. It's still trying to find something in here. Oh, glory. He said, Brother David, you sporting that 80s haircut. You ought to get one like Brian and y'all be twins. Look, he's taking on the image of his dad. Look, and look, the Bible said if you can take on the image of your earthly, then you ought to take on the image of your heavenly. Amen. We ought to look like God. We ought to be like God. We ought to walk like God. We ought to talk like God. Amen. What's wrong with the church being holy? What's wrong? What's wrong with being godly? What's wrong with it? Amen. Who's your daddy? Look at the one next to you and say, who's your daddy? Those come to instruments this morning if you can. Listen to me. You're going to be addicted to something. Why not get addicted to God? You ought to move so much furniture of God in your life that when the devil comes and tries to peep through the window, he said, man, ain't no room in there. It's full. I got to move somewhere else. Or if nothing else, when he comes and he knocks on the door, just send the Holy Ghost to the door. And when the Holy Ghost opens it, he'll see him and he'll tip his hat. He'll say, excuse me, I've got the wrong house. And he'll go on down the road somewhere else. Amen. Yeah. Why not serve God? You're going to be filled with something. Why not get full of God? Amen. Get filled up with God. No room. He said in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, you know how the house of Stephanus, that it was the first fruits of Achaia. I guess the way you pronounce it, listen. That they have what? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saint. I'm telling you, I want to be like that house of Stephanus. I want to addict myself to the things of God. I want to get addicted. I want to be addicted to Jesus. Amen. What's wrong with that? Oh, I got to go to church and get me a fix. I got to go to prayer and get me a fix. I got to go to the Word of God and give me a fix. I don't have to go down on the street and spend all my money for junk to get a high, a false high. It's an artificial high. It's like these plants right here. It's never enough. I heard people that said that they do drugs, and the first time you do a particular drug, all the other times you're trying to get that first initial high back, and you can't never get it. Is that true? Oh, I've been so high. I remember the night I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was so high when I got up from that seat, and that preacher, the evangelist, he pointed me and he said, I was sitting on this side in the other church. He said, you in the burgundy sweater, come down. I walked out and I'm telling you, I was staggered. I said, what in the world? What's wrong with me? I've never been drunk in the spirit before. Boy, I was so drunk. Amen. It felt good. I've been drunk many other times before. I've seen them so drunk, they had to load them up and carry them home. My mama said when she was a little girl, they'd be so drunk, they'd have to tote them to the wagon and load them on the back of the wagon laid out. Amen. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. That's why Peter said, ye men, these are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that Joel had prophesied, that the prophets had told you about. Listen, there's a lot of people out there, even this morning, who would forsake all for that fix. Mamas forsake their children. I've heard of little children being burned up in houses where their mom was down the road trying to get a fix. I've heard of teenage girls with 50 and 60 year old men on the street out there giving themselves for enough money to get another fix. Teenagers. That'll never happen to me. Without God, my friend, you're opened up for open season. What makes you any different than them? Only has to be God. Friend, I've seen these things. I've seen a man take his whole paycheck and knowing his family's home hungry. Spend it all on drugs or gambling or these addictions to get that fix. Well, my friend, I'm not saying this morning you come to Christ, it's not going to cost you. I'm going to tell you, you got to pay up front. It's going to cost you everything you got. But you know this old song we used to sing, I traded my nothing for his everything. I came to him with rags, Brother Butch, and poverty. He said, I'll take your rags and poverty, and I'm going to give you my royalty. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 15, he said, I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you. Not for drugs. Ask you again this morning, what is your addiction? Who or what is your God? Are you being used and abused? Think about it. You've been shown the light today. 2 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter verse 11, he says, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. See, when you know the truth makes you free. You're no longer ignorant. So the next time little temptations come and you start flirting with it, you better watch out. Next thing you know, you're going to be in the bed with it. You're going to be addicted to it, hooked on it, possessed by it. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. Who or what this morning is controlling you, I ask of you, church? Who or what is controlling you? Are you ready to respond? You got to do something. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to fortify yourself. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to respond? On three, would you stand? Here we go. One, two, three. Stand and come. Come on. Respond to the word this morning.